Well, shalom, y'all. Just want to welcome you to this week's teaching. You know, we are so glad that you have joined us for this teaching. You know, this week we are reading in Leviticus chapter 16, and we're going into Leviticus chapter 18. And in this week's reading, it starts off talking about Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, in which we read about how Yahweh gave Moses and the children of Israel a method, instructions on how they were to bring a sacrifice to the temple once a year that was an atonement, or you could say a covering of their sins. And of course, this was pointing them to the fact that Yeshua would come and he would die upon that tree for our sins, and that his blood would be shed. And by his blood, there is an atonement, or there is a covering over our sins, and we are forgiven of our sins. So I wanted to take this time to actually talk about forgiveness and talk about how our Father in heaven has forgiven us, and how he has set a standard for us, and how we are to forgive others just as he has forgiven us. So I have titled this message 70 times 7. All righty. So we're going to go ahead and start off reading, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. And this is, we're going to use a teaching that Yeshua gave his disciples on forgiveness as a basis, as an outline for this week's teaching. So here in 21, says, then Peter came to him, being Yeshua, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times. So Peter is coming up to Yeshua and he's, you know, asking a question. You know, if my brother or someone sins against me, you know, how many times shall I forgive them? He wants to know. Right now, before we get into how Yeshua answers that question, you know, Yeshua had already taught his disciples about forgiveness prior. So I want to go ahead and back up and go to where Yeshua had taught Peter about forgiveness. So Peter and his disciples knew already that he needed to forgive his brother. He needed to forgive those who sinned against him, those who did harm against him. So let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So here in this first teaching that Yeshua gives his disciples regarding forgiveness is that we need to see that when somebody wrongs us, even our brothers, that we are to seek to forgive them, okay, just as our Father has forgiven us, okay, that we're not to seek revenge against that person or hold a grudge. And he actually goes to tie into the fact that whether or not we forgive that person actually affects whether or not our Heavenly Father will forgive us. So you could say whether or not you forgive someone, or if you hold a grudge against someone, or you hold unforgiveness, bitterness, anger towards somebody, if you seek revenge for someone who has wronged you, that actually affects your relationship with God. And ultimately, whether or not he is going to forgive you or show you mercy. All right, let's look at what the Torah says about forgiveness. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 17. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. So when someone does something wrong against us, what is it that we're supposed to do? Number one, we're not supposed to hate our brother in our heart. Even if they offend us or do something to wrong us, we are not to hate that person in our heart. Now, Leviticus talks about how you are to rebuke your neighbor, or you could say it is to bring correction, to let them know what they have done. But this needs to be done in the right manner, in the right motive. Whenever you bring correction to a person, the correction shouldn't be to bring shame to that person. It shouldn't be to tear down that person. It shouldn't be done in vengeance. And it shouldn't be done in a grudging manner either. The purpose and the motive of it actually should be for that person to repent. And so it actually should be done in a merciful and compassionate way. Because we're going to see later in this teaching, that's how Yeshua deals with us. That's how our Heavenly Father deals with us. When we do wrong, He doesn't come at us with vengeance or grudgingly. He comes with compassion. He comes with mercy and goodness. And it's through that that leads us to want to repent of that which we have done wrong. So it's the same with those who have done wrong unto us. You know, when someone does you wrong, one of the first things that we really should think about is, man, how I have wronged Yahweh and how many times I have wronged Him and in what great manner I have wronged Him. But yet, how has He responded to me when I wronged Him? He has shown me mercy. He has shown me compassion. He has forgiven me. His grace is there for me to repent. He leads me to repentance that I might not do it again. So let's go ahead and go back to Matthew chapter 18. And so this is how Yeshua answers Peter when he says, how many times do I forgive my brother? So verse 22, Yeshua said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So Yeshua basically is saying, look, seven times, no, that's not enough. It's 70 times seven. Now, if you think about, have you ever kind of made this statement when somebody has done something to you? It's like, well, you know, I'll forgive you this one time, but don't keep doing it. Well, the question is that a biblical statement? Is that the attitude that Yeshua has towards us? He says up to 70 times seven. The question is he really wanting you to count 70 times seven? To say that's my limit on how many times I can forgive you? Or can we just simply say that when it comes to forgiveness, God actually multiplies His forgiveness towards us? And so I want to read a passage here in Psalms chapter 78 and verse 38. But He, this is speaking of Yahweh, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. He's talking about the children of Israel while they're in the wilderness, and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time He turned His anger away and did not stir up His wrath. For He remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. How often they provoked Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. You know, when you read through the Torah, we read through the story of them coming out of Egypt. I mean, it's time after time that Israel would forsake Yahweh, that they would forget about Him and the great wonders that He had done for them. They would complain in the wilderness about not having food and not having any water to drink. And they would complain and desire to want to go back to Egypt, to go back to living under slavery in Egypt. And it says here in this verse that many a times that they grieved him, but Yahweh, in his compassion, he turned his anger away from them. And he says he forgave them. So many of times he forgave them. Or you could say his forgiveness towards them was multiplied in the wilderness there. Verse 39 speaks about how he remembered that they were but flesh. Or you could say that they were weak. You know, think about that. When we mess up, he is full of compassion. And he knows that we are but flesh, right? We are living in a corrupted body. One day we will put on incorruption. So his compassion is there for us to forgive us. He doesn't stir up his anger towards us. He turns it away. He forgives us of our sins because he remembers that we are weak. Okay, now that isn't a license for us to go into a lifestyle of intentional sinning, because we know that there actually isn't a sacrifice for intentional sinning. So our heart and our motive and our goal in our life should be to live a sinless, spotless life. But we are weak. We will miss the mark. And when we do, he is compassionate and he will forgive us. So that same compassion that he shows towards us and our weaknesses is the same compassion that we should show to our brothers and to our neighbors and to those around us for their weaknesses, for where they missed the mark. We should show that same compassion. We should turn our anger away. We should not stir up our wrath, but we should forgive and be merciful and have compassion upon those who do wrong unto us. So let's go ahead and go back to Matthew chapter 18, and let's read in verse 23. He says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt." So here in this passage, we read of a king who is going to settle his accounts with all of his servants who are underneath him. So all those who owe him money, who have a debt unto him. And so as he's calling upon his servants to come and repay him the money that they owe him, there is one who is brought before him who is said to have owed him 10,000 talents. Now, this is an amount of money that actually was a very large sum and actually was an amount that was unpayable. There is no way this servant would ever be able to raise this amount of money or earn this amount of money to repay the king the amount of money he owed. So this was an unpayable debt that he owed to the king. Okay? Now, so since he was not able to pay it, the king's command okay, was that he should be sold, him and his wife and his children. So he would be sold as to be a servant to somebody else. And the money that he is selling him for, he's going to use to settle the amount of money that is owed to him by this servant. So upon hearing this, the servant falls down before this king and he calls him master. And he says, have patience with me and I will pay you all. Have patience with me. Now, remember, this was an amount that he really could not pay back. He's asking for patience. Would he have been able to ever pay it back? Probably not. But he's asking for patience. And so the master, upon seeing this and him asking for patience, the master is moved with compassion and he releases him and actually forgives him of this debt that he could not pay. So if we think about this passage here, this speaks of how our Heavenly Father has forgiven us. Okay, number one, what we can see here is, remember, the servant was just kind of going about his own business. He wasn't even thinking about this debt until he is called before the king. You know, we get caught up in our lives and we go about our lives and we can be walking in sin. And there's times where we don't even realize we're walking in sin and that we are sinning. And there's a way in which our Heavenly Father calls us before him, and that's through the conviction of his Spirit. And even as we come into belief in Yeshua at that initial standpoint, we were in a lifestyle and a life where, you know, we didn't care that we were sinning. We weren't worried about the debt that we could not pay. But then something occurred one day that brought that debt to mind, and that was the conviction of his Holy Spirit. And so as we're brought before our Master Yahweh, we see that we have a debt upon us that we cannot pay. We cannot repay it. Someone had to pay that debt for us. And that is what Yeshua did when he died upon that tree. He paid the debt that we could not pay. So our life, without him paying that debt, you know, we were basically doomed for eternal judgment. And so because of him paying that debt, as the master is going to be sold into slavery, right? We were living a life under the slavery of sin, doomed for a everlasting life, you know, eternal life under death, under that sin. But now to those who believe in Yeshua, who's had their sins forgiven, covered, atoned for, you know, we inherit eternal life to live and reign with him in the new Jerusalem in the future. And hallelujah for that. So what does the servant do? He says, have patience with me and I will repay you. This speaks of the patience that Yahweh has with us and that he has shown us. You know, he has patience with us. He is slow to anger. He gives us time to repent. He gives us time to turn from our sin. In verse 27, what does he do? When the servant asked for patience, he was moved with compassion and he released him and forgave him of the debt. Well, that's what was done for us by Yeshua upon that tree. He released us and forgave us of that which we owed. And it's for those who will believe upon him and walk in his ways. So, as we said, the servant had a debt he could not repay. Well, you know, we have innumerable sins that actually cannot be counted. And Psalms chapter 40 and verse 12 speaks of this. It says, For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart fails me. Your iniquities, your sin, the amount of times that you have sinned against your heavenly Father are more than the hairs on your head. Meaning that they're unable to be counted. Okay? So when someone wrongs you, and maybe they do it over and over again, remember that the times that you have sinned against Yahweh are more than the hairs of your head. They're innumerable. It cannot be counted by humans. Now, so he has shown us compassion and he has forgiven us. So that just shows us more. No matter how many times somebody sins against us, we should still continue to walk in forgiveness and compassion. As I spoke of before, you know, we were unable to pay the debt of our own sin. So Psalms chapter 49 and verse 6. Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of your soul is costly, and it shall cease forever. So the redemption of our souls is costly. So what we're seeing here is, you know, the Torah speaks of, you know, ransoming your brother, as in when they sold their property or when they gave up of something that they owned because they, you know, needed help during a season. There was a system in place so that a brother could come along and redeem that brother and get his stuff back. Or even if he sold himself to be a servant of another man, he could be redeemed from that person. But when it comes to our souls, when it comes to the manner of our sins and how we have transgressed our Heavenly Father, there's no amount of money that could ever be brought that could redeem our souls. The richest person in the world cannot redeem his soul. It can only be redeemed by the blood of Yeshua. Now remember, I talked about how the servant asked for patience. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? See, the thing that leads us to repentance is not him coming and hammering us and casting judgment at us. Now, yes, he brings discipline, but even in his discipline, he does it in a manner that is goodness. He does it in a manner of long suffering. He is patient with us. He suffers long with us, giving us time to repent. And it's through his goodness, through his mercy and compassion, that actually leads us and calls us to repentance. It's not him dealing harshly with us that causes us to want to repent, but it's his compassion, it's his patience, it's his mercy that causes us and leads us to repentance. So if that's what leads us to want to repent to him, what's going to lead somebody to want to repent to you when they have wronged you? Is it you dealing harshly with them? Is it you seeking vengeance against them? Is it you holding a grudge against them? Or is it you walking and showing them goodness, you showing them mercy and compassion and being long-suffering with them, being patient with them? We need to show them the same level of patience and long suffering that we have received from our Heavenly Father. And at times, that can be really difficult for us. And sometimes we just got to pray and ask Him to help us and give us the strength by His Spirit to be able to walk in that level of forgiveness, because it is definitely not something that we're really able to do in our own fleshly strength. It is something we have to do by His Spirit. Remember, Yeshua came to show us mercy, to show mercy to people, to lead people to repentance, not judgment. Right? So let's read in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to His disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Yeshua heard that, He said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know, the Pharisees could not understand why Yeshua would eat and spend time with the tax collectors and the sinners, or those who needed forgiveness, those who needed to turn from their sin, to walk in repentance. Yeshua spent time with them. He came to them to show them goodness and to call them to repentance. He came to show them mercy. So when someone has wronged us, we need to remember that it's not about us desiring judgment for that person who has sinned against us, but the desire should be to see that person walk in repentance and for that person to have mercy, not judgment. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 18. "But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done." So as we're back into this parable, this story that Yeshua is telling his disciples and teaching them about forgiveness, and we see this servant who had just been forgiven this debt that he could not pay on his own. Now he goes out and seeks for a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii. This was a much smaller debt than what he had owed the king. Okay. And so he lays hands on this servant. It says he took him by the throat. He grabs him by the throat and he's saying, "Pay me what you owe me." So now, this servant who had asked for compassion and patience from the king is now dealing harshly with his fellow servant who owes him a much smaller debt. This is what it's like when someone wrongs us and we demand vengeance, or we hold a grudge against them, or we choose not to forgive them, or we want to demand repayment for what they have done to us. When we deal harshly with them, when we have been shown compassion, we are like this servant, right? And what does it say? It says the fellow servants, seeing how he had treated this other servant so harshly, it says they were grieved upon seeing this action. They knew that what he was doing was wrong. So they go back to the king to tell him how harshly this servant has treated this other fellow over this small debt. He treated him unreasonably for the manner of compassion and patience which he had received. And that's the same with us. When we choose not to forgive someone, when we choose to have a grudge or to show vengeance towards a person when they have wronged us. So as we look at verse 32, it says, "Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Now, the first thing we see here in verse 32, upon this servant being back in front of his master and being back in front of the king, he says, the king calls him a wicked servant. So when we choose not to forgive those who have done us wrong, when we deal harshly with people, when we have received patience and forgiveness, we are like this wicked servant. That's what we are in danger of being told by our Heavenly Father: "You wicked servant." What does he tell him he should have done? He told him, "You should have had compassion on your fellow servant." That is what we are to have with those who wrong us, who sin against us. We are to have compassion on them. So because of this, he was angry. And so he likens, Yeshua likens this to our Heavenly Father. That just as this servant was delivered unto the torturers, so will we, if we do not forgive those who trespass against us. If we don't forgive others, then our Heavenly Father is not going to forgive us. Remember, whether or not we forgive somebody affects our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's those who show mercy who will receive mercy. We see that here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. He says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." So blessed are those who are full of mercy. If you're full of mercy, then you should be showing mercy. It means that you are treating people with mercy. And it's those who are merciful, who are full of mercy, full of merciful actions towards their neighbor and their brothers, for they are the ones who will obtain mercy. James chapter 2 and verse 13. "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." What James is saying here is that judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. So if someone sins against you, if they wrong you in any manner, and you choose not to show mercy unto that person, when it's time for you to stand in judgment, because remember, your sins are uncountable. They're more than the hairs on your head. So one day you're going to stand before the Almighty. And you're going to have to stand and answer for all that you have done. And he says judgment is going to be without mercy for that person who has shown no mercy. So if you think about it this way, when someone sins against you, ask yourself, how do I want to be treated by my Heavenly Father for my sins against Him, which I cannot count because they're too innumerable? That's how I'm going to treat this person who has done me wrong. If you want mercy, you need to treat that person with mercy. James says here, mercy triumphs over judgment. That's the better thing, is to show mercy, not judgment. The idea behind showing mercy and patience and suffering long with someone who has wronged you is for repentance. Now remember, the Torah talked about how there was to be a rebuke, or you could say a correction, to be brought in the right spirit, in the right manner. The goal of it was to show mercy, to show that compassion for that person to what? To repent of their wrong, to turn from their wrong. It's not to bring a correction to someone harshly. It's not to bring it in a grudging manner. It's not to be done in a manner seeking revenge or to tear a person down or to bring shame to that person. But it could be done in a manner which builds a person up, which shows goodness to that person, that ultimately they would turn from that type of behavior, never to do it again. You know, as I talked about before, you know, I'm talking about forgiveness because we're reading through Leviticus chapter 16, which deals with the Day of Atonement, the topic of the covering of our sins. You know, and there's a scripture that talks about how love covers a multitude of sins. So now, of course, we see that, first of all, in the fact that Yeshua loved us. And through His love for us, He gave of His life and He shed His blood for us. And so through His love and through His blood, there is a covering over a multitude of our sins, over all these sins that we cannot count, that are more than the hairs of our head. They have been covered by His sacrifice because of His love for us. James chapter 5 and verse 19. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Hallelujah. I think it's really interesting when we see in this scripture where he is talking about this covering of a multitude of sins, okay, that what do we see in context? What do we see in the verses? It's this idea of repentance. It's this idea that if we see somebody wandering from the truth, that we call them back. We call them back to repent. Now, let's really be careful about how we interpret this idea of wandering from the truth. We don't need to bring this down to the idea on whether or not somebody has a different interpretation of Scripture than us. This isn't the time to rebuke somebody. This isn't what's being talked about here. This is the idea that we see somebody who is outright walking in sin, who's walking in sexual immorality, who is walking or they've stolen from their brother, one who is you know, killed their brother. Or you could say hatred within the heart. Yeshua says if you have hate in your heart towards your brother, then you have murdered that person. You know, these are the outright things that are black and white that we see in Scripture. When we see somebody wandering from His commands, from the instructions in which He has given us, that righteous way which He has laid out before us, when we see somebody straying from that path, we are to turn that person back with compassion and gentleness, not harshly. And if we turn that sinner from the error of his way, then we can know that we have saved that person from death. We, in essence, have put a cover over a multitude of sins by calling that person back to that belief in Yeshua, by walking in His righteousness and walking in covenant with Him, getting them back underneath that covering of His blood. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I hope this has blessed you. I know for me, you know, a lot of this speaks right to my heart and is challenging to me as well. You know, the idea of forgiving and the level in which we're called to forgive. So I hope it's blessed you. It definitely has blessed me. Hope to see you again next week. We will be back next week with another teaching. So come back and shalom, y'all.